Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Shaden, and this is a recording of our Bible study at Hope Collective Church that meets every Wednesday at 6:30 in the evening. If you are in between ages 18 to 40 years old, you are welcome to join. But for now, please enjoy this week's episode.
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it changes the pronoun. The Beatitudes before, it is blessed are those people. Blessed are those people. Blessed are those people. The last one is blessed are those who are persecuted. And then Jesus goes to blessed are you. Do you see that? There's a shift there. Blessed are you when you are insulted by people. When you are persecuted. When you are falsely accused. You know, sometimes I go straight to theologians and I read about scriptures. But sometimes I sit and I just like ask the Lord, what's the point of that? Recently, I was watching a game show that I don't recommend you guys watching. Okay? In the beginning of the show, there's like 400 people, right? Throughout the show, you hear people saying things like, I always thought like I was just going to be eliminated in the beginning. I never knew that $4 million was at my hand's grasp, like just a little bit ways away, right? Like in the beginning, it's like, yeah, there's a possibility that you might win. But when you narrow it down to the very end, it's like, you might be the winner, right? Like it becomes extremely personal. Like it's yours. And when I was sitting with the Lord, it's like he's saying, yeah, all these Beatitudes are good, but this one right here, like it's going to be very personal. It might be personal to you. Like people who you love might hurt you personally. You might take a personal offense. It might be hard to be a Christian. As if he's saying, like, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing, like, this is what you're going to sign up for. People are going to attack you personally. People are going to attack your character. People are going to make fun of you. Before I continue, I want to talk about the wrong type of persecution. There's some Christians in the world that they live to be persecuted. They do certain things to trigger certain people so that they can get a reaction and be persecuted so that they can be like, I'm doing the righteous act of God. You guys probably know this group of people. The Westboro Baptist Church. They carry these signs where they go. It's disgusting. And I think it's just the most vile thing anyone could ever do, whether you're a Christian or not. This right here, the reason why they're being persecuted is not because they're being righteous. They're being persecuted because they're pricks. Right? You know, they get rocks thrown at them. They go on TV and they say, yeah, people throw rocks at our vehicles and they threaten us, but we're blessed because we're doing the Lord's work. I probably would be someone throwing the rocks at the vehicle, like to be honest. So this is not what it means to be persecuted for Christ. This is an example of someone who was persecuted for being a Christian. This man here was a German pastor during the Nazi regime, and he would speak openly that what they're doing is wrong, that we have to live like Christ, live the values that's within the Bible, and them killing Jews is not the right thing to do. And because he stood up for that truth, he got executed. He got persecuted. And there's this famous line here that I absolutely love. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That's so gnarly. Like, yes, we have people in the Bible, in the Gospels, that have lived for the gospel and died. Sometimes when we read the Bible and we think, oh yeah, those guys, they're awesome, but what about today? It's a little different today. No, we're still meant to live like that today, to uphold the values of the Bible. And when people hate you and talk bad against you, you have to remember that this is what I signed up for. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Oof. That is heavy. Don't forget, the cross was a torture device. The worst type of pain ever created back then. Sometimes people who were crucified were up on the cross for days before they died. Jesus said, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. This is pretty clear that he's going, life is not going to be easy. In fact, you want to follow me, you better get ready, because what I'm calling you to do is serious business. And these weren't empty words, because we know Christ Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross along with many of his disciples. Some of them were even hung upside down. Peter actually said, I'm not worthy. The tradition says he's not worthy to die like his Savior. Hang me, kill me a different way, upside down. So they hung him upside down. C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest theologians of all time, in my opinion, wrote this. We were promised suffering. They were part of the program. We were even told, blessed are they that mourn, and I accept it. I've got nothing that I haven't bargained for. I was at this conference once, and there's these missionaries in China where they would like kill Christians. And they were imprisoned, and he was telling a story that before they were dragged out of their homes, they were able to rip a page off of the Bible. And when they were sitting in the prison, and they would whisper it, they would read it and whisper it at night. For weeks, they were locked up. And they would read the same verse over and over and over. But what's crazy is the guy that was up on stage, this is at Biola University, and he's like, since we've been freed, I've never been so close to the Lord since that moment I was in that prison. No matter how hard I try, no matter how hard I worship and I pray, the sweetness that I've had when I was in that prison is indescribable. Blessed are you who are persecuted. That right there is the blessing. Not that, oh yeah, when you're persecuted, God's going to come and rescue you and he's gonna rebuild that house that those soldiers destroyed. Maybe not, maybe so. But the blessing that Jesus is talking about here is, I am with you. It seems like people who have gone through persecution, they have some amazing stories of being close to the Lord, like they have never been before. There's a supernatural sense that God is like whispering, it's okay, I'm with you in this. Because this is what they did to me. I know what you're going through. Trust me, I've been there. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. The word granted here in Greek is also the same word for showing favor. So that can be translated into, on behalf of Christ, he is showing favor on you that when you're able to suffer with him. It is a blessing that you're able to suffer with Christ. That's so heavy. It has been granted to you. Like God is going, I have this amazing gift. And my favor on you is that you get to suffer like Jesus. What we have to do is shift our perspective. Like I think about the man who held Jesus' cross, who carried it for him. The biggest gift that God could ever give us, and to be alongside of him and help him carry that out, that's a huge honor. Maybe that man wasn't grateful in that moment, but afterwards, when he saw Jesus walking around resurrected, when he saw the movement taking off as it did, when he heard about the Holy Spirit coming down in tongues of fire and all the miracles that happened, that man was probably on fire going, I got to help the Savior do this. I got to partner with Jesus in the greatest gift that he could give us. When we suffer, we're partnering with him in his suffering. In a sense, we're carrying that cross. Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's not something that we have to look at and go, shoot, that's going to suck. I don't want to do that. But instead, if you look at that verse going, I get to carry that cross. I get to carry the cross of my Savior. What an honor that the lover of my soul would give up his life for me in this world. And I get to help him do that. When people persecute you now, say bad things about you, you don't have to worry about what they're saying. You can go, Jesus, I hear you. We're in this together. I know you're with me. And in that moment, I bet you, if you change your perspective in that moment, I probably guarantee you, you're going to feel the Holy Spirit. You're going to feel that peace and that joy. You're going to feel that blessedness. This man here, I read his book two times a year. I mean, it's a small book. But Man's Search for Meaning, have you ever heard of it? He was taken to Auschwitz, and of course, he lived through the horrors of Auschwitz. And he was not a Christian. Well, you can kind of argue that, but I don't think he was. I think he was obviously a Jew, and I don't know what happened at the end. If there's some speculation, but I don't know. But when he in his writings, you can tell that the Holy Spirit was working through him. And I know a lot of people say things like, "Oh yeah, but he's not a Christian." Yeah, but I believe all truth comes from Jesus, whether he is a Christian or not. Why? In the Bible, God uses a jackass to speak, a donkey. If God can use a donkey to speak, I'm sure he can use people who are not believers to speak as well. Truth is truth, no matter who it comes from. That's what I believe. And you can argue with me about that, and that's okay.
But
he says this: everything can be taken from a man, but one thing, the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. That is so heavy, because he was in those camps being tortured. You've seen those photos of them skinny as twigs, and they're outside working in the sun, sores on their bodies. You know what the Nazis did to the Jews. They hated them. Everything was taken from this man. His family was taken from him. His career, he was a psychologist. Family taken, career taken, home taken, clothes taken from him. They were naked. His freedom taken, everything taken. And he's saying, but there's one thing that they can't take. There's one thing they cannot touch. It's your attitude. Again, we don't face persecution like in some countries around the world, but that doesn't mean we don't have persecution here. Because we do. We have mind games with our relatives, like I said, friends, in our workspaces. Sometimes we don't want to say certain things because we don't want to be that guy, that Christian. And again, I'm not saying you got to be outspoken and you got to be a jerk like those Westboro Baptist people. That's not the way to do it, right? Because if you look prior to this beatitude, it is peacemaking, right? And we studied that last week. Do everything you can to live in peace with people. But we have to shift our perspective here, because that's the one thing that we have control in. The attitude of our mind, of our hearts. That's why, again, I can go back to the beginning about metanoia. You have to change your mind, change your ways, think beyond, right? Let people hate you, not because you're a jerk, but because you stand on truth. And if people don't like you because of that, love them anyway. If people call you names because of that, pray for them anyway. Whatever happens to you in the sense of persecution, remember, it is an honor and a privilege and a gift. It is granted that we can carry the cross of Christ.
Thank you for listening to this week's Bible study at Hope Collective Church. Feel free to join us next Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. if you are in between ages 18 to 40, or join our Sunday morning service at 8 or 9:30. See you next time.